It is really good to be back with First Pres. We're only here for 5 short weeks, but the way that you guys have cared for us, there's the missions house on Crossfield Road that they've been working diligently to get ready. It's been an amazing place for us to just come in and to have a place to be and to rest and to stay, and it's been incredible. Along with your hospitality, your care that you guys have all shown to us, it's made coming back truly enjoyable, encouraging, and restful. So for that, we give you great thanks. We've had a good opportunity to catch up with our family, with our friends, the boys this week. The two younger boys have been at BBS all week, so they're learning about how Jesus rescues. And our two older boys are at Horizon this week at Bonclarken. So these are things that have been on their radar for the entire past year. So it's been amazing for us to come in and let them enjoy a little bit of the life that they used to have. The reason why we're here in Spain, the Bridge Codes were here as well a couple weeks ago. The reason why we're here is because our denomination brought as many missionaries as they could home for an event called World Focus. And World Focus is an opportunity to highlight all of the ministries, the denominational agencies, ministries that our denomination has. And primarily it was a focus of all of the different fields that our denomination has people play. So we have countries represented were the USA, Thailand, England, Scotland, Wales, Spain, Germany, France, Lithuania, Poland, Pakistan. So as we look at this, we see the amazing way that God is using this small denomination to have a gospel impact throughout the world. And for that, we give great praise that we've been able to come, we've been able to share, and we've been able to see God's faithfulness on display in big ways and in small ways. So with that, we're extremely thankful to be here with you. And before we go any further, I want to pray. So, dear God, we come to you and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the great faithfulness that you show to your children by loving them, by redeeming them, by giving them new life. And not only giving them new life, you give us something to do because you've created tasks for us to do, to serve you, to honor you. And I give you thanks that over these past several weeks, we've been able to see the way that you have brought your people to serve you around the world, in Colombia, within the local church, and we stand amazed at what you're doing. So God, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity tonight to share a little bit about what you're doing through us in Spain, and I thank you that we can testify to your goodness and your faithfulness to the people gathered here tonight. I pray that you be glorified through all that's shared tonight, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a part of the World Focus, at the end of World Focus and its Synod, World Witness, which is our denomination's missions agency, if it'll come up. The executive director got up at the end of his presentation and he said there's a new prayer initiative that they're trying to begin. It's called 2-2-20. And what it is, they're asking for each church within the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, so each local church, to begin to pray and to begin to identify two people within their church that they feel God may be calling, may be developing to serve as a missionary overseas. And this is it's a great initiative. They hope to have 500 names submitted by 2020. And as a part of this initiative, it really strikes home to us, especially as we think about some of you in this room might not know us, kind of who we are. So as a part of understanding who we are, it ties right in with what World Witness is asking the local church to do. Because for us, it's me, Jillian, and our four boys. But when Jillian and I first became Christians, first began to figure out what it is to walk with the Lord in our late teens, we both felt that God was calling us to serve cross-culturally, to serve overseas in some capacity. We didn't know exactly what it was. Through that process, We had this internal burden, internal desire that God had placed on us. And through the years, we met, we were in college, and within our local church, we grew up in Ebenezer Pentecostal Holiness Church out in South Congaree. And the folks that knew us and were seeing us grow in our faith, they knew that we had a burden on our hearts to see people reached with the gospel that weren't necessarily like us. And because they saw this, they found opportunities for us to serve. Now for us, this began with us simply saying, we're willing to do whatever needs to be done. And then we had some men in our church that had a construction company. They had some Mexican guys working for them and said, Justin, we don't speak Spanish. We know you speak some Spanish. Would you be willing to start a Sunday school class? Because we want these men to come to know the good news of Jesus Christ, and I don't think they've heard it. So this process, we were 20 years old, and we said, okay. But we were extremely grateful because God had placed the burden within us, and He had placed people within the church who knew us, were praying for us, and were looking for opportunities for us to begin to engage in cross-cultural ministry so that we could begin this process that's gotten us to Spain today. So, as I don't want to take up too much time on this, but I think it's an amazing initiative, and it's a challenge to every church to begin to identify people that you see the Lord is working in, and as you see these gifts being developed, to try to find opportunities that these gifts can be exercised so that they can explore, so they can figure out whether it is and where the Lord would have them to serve. And that's what World Witness is pushing for in this initiative, because they want churches to begin to identify people, young, old, and to begin to ask the question, is the Lord calling them to serve overseas? And for the individuals within the church to ask, is God calling me? So this is an initiative, and we've seen it, and it's really important to us because we see the way that it's played out in our own lives. And I think it's important that the church understand their responsibility. It's not simply somebody saying, I think I need to go overseas and do something. The reality is that the church should be seeing these gifts and should affirm or maybe say, this thing that you say you want to do, I'm not sure that's the thing for you. But the church needs to be involved in this process. And I think it's a really incredible prayer initiative, because it's not just simply give World Witness two names. They want the churches to begin this in a prayerful way to identify people whom the Lord may be calling to serve Him overseas. So with that, we come to where we are today. As you know, we are serving in Spain. We've been in Spain about a year and a half. I'll show you the particular part of Spain where we live is Asturias. So way up in the north, the very center is Madrid. That's where everyone thinks when they think Spain, generally. Where we live in Spain, it's not Madrid. It is way up north on the coast. This is you can't really see it here, but it's green, which is unlike central Spain and southern Spain. It's very green. We get a lot of rain. It's mountainous. Culturally, it's distinct. Instead of flamenco, instead of drums, instead of fast rhythms, we have drums and bagpipes. So it's not typically what people think of when they think Spain. But it's where we serve. And us particularly, we're serving in a little town, or next to a little town called Lugones. Lugones is a little town, I think it has about 15,000 people. It's a suburb that's adjacent to the city of Oviedo, which has about 250,000 people. And this is the town where our teammates, the Grants, were initially living when they were there. And this is where we've begun to develop relationships. I said that we've been in Spain about a year and a half. Now, if you've been at Wednesday night prayer, sometimes you've seen on your little sheets of paper some of our prayer updates. And our first year in Spain hasn't necessarily been the smoothest. In some ways, we feel kind of like Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, where he's talking about trouble with river, dangers from rivers and danger from robbers, and just these setbacks. He had far more severe things than we had to deal with, but we can telltales of during our first year. We had houses that flooded. We had rats. We had teammates that departed. We had trouble with our visa. We had troubles in many, many ways. But at the end of this first year, we were able to reflect on this and say, God has been faithful to us in amazing ways and small ways. And as we recount His faithfulness, we can't help but praise Him. And that's what I hope, as we talk about what we see God doing and how He's using us, I hope that you can praise Him for His faithfulness to us and through His faithfulness in what He's doing and allowing us to participate in. As you know, if you know us, if you've heard me speak even before we went to Spain, one of the primary burdens that I have is to see the church established and strengthened. This is what we were doing when we were in South America. We were with church strengthening in small communities that didn't have trained pastors, and I was working to help them be trained. But the fact of the matter is, this continues to be the heart of what makes us tick. So I'm going to read Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Because this is Paul teaching, and he says, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through Him," or through our faith in Him. And the big takeaway as you read this is that Jesus Christ has accomplished God's eternal purpose in saving sinners, in destroying the devil. And this is realized and manifested in the world through the church. And this has been the great burden for us, is to see healthy churches, doctrinally sound, established in the northern part of Spain where there are very few believers and very few churches. And it's our desire to see them established, but also to strengthen the existing churches. This has been our prayer throughout our first year, is we knew that we're coming in, we have Spanish, so we were coming in with the ability to listen and talk to people and to begin to understand that we aren't the superheroes, the missionary superheroes arriving to save northern Spain. The fact of the matter is, we know that there are 22 evangelical churches in Spain. They have a pretty wide range of doctrinal positions. But the fact of the matter is, we knew that God was doing something in the north of Spain. So our first year, we went in patiently, we went in knowing that we weren't going to just tear the walls down and try to start something brand new. We wanted to listen and prayerfully ask God, "What are you currently doing? And help us to see it, and if it would be pleasing to you, allow us to come alongside to learn what ministry looks like in Spain." And that's what I want to talk about here over just the next few minutes, because we have four primary areas of ministry that God has shown us and that we are thankful He's allowed us to enter into. The first is with the local church. So we've encountered a local church that's there. It's the, I'll show you, this is the Iglesia Evangelica Betel. It's a little church. It's on the street, right just to the right of that bench is a bus stop, and it's a small church. This is the interior. This is Miguel. He's one of the elders who's doing the announcements this morning. So this is basically what the interior of the church looks like, so you can get a feel for it. And this is me preaching at the church. As we were praying that God would show us what's going on in the north of Spain and how can we get involved, it's really amazing what happened. This little church had a missionary pastor that had been there for about 4 years. The missionary pastor was in his mid-60s and he was retiring. And he retired last June. Immediately prior to his retirement, so 1 month prior to his retirement, he established these two elders. He worked with the two most spiritually mature men in the church, and he established two elders within the church, and then he retired. Now what this did was put these two elders in a very new circumstance, because the pastor that was there, he was responsible for the preaching, the pastoral care, the visits, the everything. And these elders weren't functioning as elders because he was doing it all. So then this pastor retired, and the two elders are left carrying the burden of caring for this small flock of 20 to 25 believers. One of the elders, Alain, he's in his early 70s. He lived about an hour away. So he was willingly and gratefully driving about an hour, two or three times per week, for Sunday service, to come to the prayer meeting, to come to the Bible study, and to do some pastoral care. Another young guy, the guy who you saw making the announcements, Miguel, he's about 45. He's a plumber, so he's working 60 hours a week. And he's also now responsible for the weekly preaching, the pastoral care, the visitation, because he lives close to the church. So as soon as these men were thrust into this new position of eldership and all the responsibilities, I met with these men individually over coffee, over meals in our home, and said, I understand what you're going through. Like, this is you now have a massive responsibility on your shoulders. And I said, I don't want to pastor your church. I don't want to come in and supplant you. But I do want to come alongside you and support you and encourage you. And if there's anything that I can do to help, I want to help you. And over the course of the next several months, through meetings and through prayer gatherings at church, the church began to trust me. And they said, Justin, would you help us with some of the preaching? Because Miguel's preaching every Sunday. He's not a preacher. He says, I'm not a preacher. He's like, I'm not skilled for this. So he said, Justin, would you be able to help me with some of my preaching? So in the fall, I preached a couple of times, and I've preached pretty much once per month this year. And I'm going to help him preach some more this summer. But it's been amazing to see how God has answered our prayers, because we're new. Nobody knows us. There is no other Reformed presence in the north of Spain where we are. There is no other world witness work in the north of Spain. The nearest one's 5 hours away in Madrid. So for us, coming in completely isolated, it has been an amazing providence that God has given us this little church that loves the Lord, loves its community, gathers to pray for its members, for outreach. And it's incredible, because we've heard all of these things saying there are no Reformed churches in the north and there are no explicitly Reformed churches. But Miguel got up on his New Year's Day exhortation that the people would be diligent with their studies this year and their devotions and their studies of the scriptures. And he gets up and he says, this year I'm going through 365 days with John Calvin as my devotional. And I was sort of taken aback, because I said, there are no, we've been told and we've talked to other people, there are no Reformed churches here. But we have this little church with these two elders who are diving into good theology, who are seeking to learn their Bible and seeking to reach their community with the gospel. So for us, it's been an amazing encouragement to be able to walk alongside these men and to have them encourage me and our family, and to have us to be able to encourage them. And we are extremely grateful for the way that God has opened this door to allow us to serve alongside Spaniards as they seek to reach their community. So, and it's been good for us, because I told Miguel, I said, our long-term goal is to see a church established here. But I would really love to know how you do church, to understand some of the spiritual realities and differences that might be in play in Spain. I'd like to talk to you about pastoral care. So we have this relationship that's growing, where I'm able to learn from them, they're able to learn from me, and we're doing this mutually. And it's incredible. So that's one aspect of the ministry that's been a huge encouragement to us. The next thing is that the church, a few years ago, one of the missionaries with the church began an English conversation group at a local cafe. So this is something on Wednesday nights. Jillian and I, and typically Alex, will go to the cafe and we sit down, we drink coffee, and we talk with anybody who wants to practice their English. Now, these are not believers. There are a couple people from the church that come, but by and large, they're not believers, so they get to come. They get to practice their English, and they get to ask us questions, and we get to ask them questions. And one of the things that's been really useful for us is to understand how it is that the people where we live think, how they live, how their families are structured, how they relate to one another. And they've been able to understand who we are and how we think. Because we're a little odd. Because we're Americans. We have four children. I'm an evangelical pastor, which that in itself, when they say, "What do you do?" I say, "Oh, I'm an evangelical pastor." And they go, I'm not sure I've ever met a Protestant before. As we explain kind of what this is. The dynamic has been really interesting. But it's amazing to us because it allows us to become known in the community. And it's allowing us to get to know them. So it's a mutual understanding that they know these Americans who are Christians associated with the church two blocks from here. They come and they will help us to practice our English. And they will talk about anything that we want to talk about. And yes, sometimes they talk about their weird religious views about sin and redemption and families and how God has plans. But they take it. And we're very grateful for that. So, we have our English conversation group that we do on Wednesday nights. The other aspect, which is very encouraging for us because it takes place in our home, is we have a Sunday evening Bible study. This is something that our teammates, the Grants, started about 3 years ago. And this is just a basic Bible study. Well, we say it's basic. It's not really basic. It's not like your typical, let's go have some coffee and just study and leave. It's basically a worship service because the structure is we gather. Right now we have three committed families and we have another couple families and folks that kind of float in and out. But it's structured such that we gather about 6 o'clock, we sing songs, we sing hymns, we read psalms, we pray for one another, we take prayer requests, and we pray, and then we divide out so that the children have their class, the teenagers have their class, and the adults have their class. And it's been amazing as we've had these opportunities to discuss God's Word in an environment that lets people ask questions, especially as they wrestle with the text that we're studying, as we're going through John and we're talking about all sorts of some off-the-wall doctrinal stuff that we get to look at John and they ask the questions and we can say, well, the Word says this. And it's been amazing that as we come to folks from various church backgrounds with some various doctrinal backgrounds, as we get to talk to these things, the folks that God has placed in our Bible study are ones that, as they come with their deeply held convictions, when we're able to show them from God's Word how their convictions might not line up with what God says, they go, "Oh, okay. We should consider changing our positions." And we go, "Okay, well, that's good." And we keep talking. But it's been amazing to see how this Bible study's formed. Has given us fellowship. It's given us greater opportunities to invite people. Some people, as I talked with Norman and Kent and all the folks who've been down to Toledo, some people won't cross the threshold of a Protestant church. They just won't. But if we invite them and say, "Hey, would you like to come to our house? It's a Bible study. We're going to read the Bible. You can ask questions, and afterwards we have a meal." And they go, "Okay, I might come to that." And so for us, it's been amazing. We have these three aspects of ministry that I'm going to talk about. So is this engagement with a local church, which has been really good. We have opportunities for outreach and getting to know our community. And then we have a Bible study that meets in our home that allows us to have what would be amazing if we could have this little gathering of three families to turn into a church one day. We have a lot of administrative stuff to figure out what it looks like to establish a church that's legally recognized. But we hope and we pray. And we continue to meet. And we continue to look at God's Word and we continue to pray together. And we continue to eat together.